Hello and welcome to episode 16 of Could It Be Podcast, which is Kate's story today. I'd like to start today's episode by thanking Jacob for the theme music. So it's now December and I would like to wish all of my listeners Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, however you celebrate this time of year. Thank you for all of the support that you have given me throughout this year. It's made this journey a lot easier. In recording this episode, it reminded me how thankful I am for this community of women who would like to share their stories when it comes to breast implant illness. I followed Kate for months, so she reached out after I posted about episode 2 and I followed her back, and I had no idea until recording this episode exactly what she's been through. So it was, you know, a horrible few years for her, going through all of the tests and checkups to try and find out what was wrong with her until she realized that it was breast implant illness that was causing these symptoms. So thankful for Kate and for anyone who has gone through all of that but still takes the time to share their story, because they want to raise the awareness for other women who are either going through it themselves or who are toying up with the idea of having breast implants, because this is something that is affecting a lot of women. And if it helps at least one woman to change her mind and realize her worth and her beauty with our implants, then we've done our job and we're super happy to support that community. Just a reminder to reach out if you would also like to share your story on the podcast. I have the Instagram and the Facebook that you can reach me through. So we'll jump into today's episode. Here's Kate's story. So welcome to another co-host style episode of Could It Be Podcast. Today I am joined by the lovely Kate. Welcome to the podcast, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. So, Kate, you were actually one of my first international listeners. I remember putting a post up on Instagram about episode 2 and I did the hashtags and stuff. You must be following hashtags on Instagram. And you're like, oh, I'm going to jump on and listen. And I remember seeing the US pop up in my listeners on the app that I use. So that leads me into the first question. Where in the world are you talking with me from today?
I'm in the Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia area.
Beautiful. So bit of a time difference, and where you are at the moment, it is your birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time on your birthday to share your story on the podcast. I really appreciate it. So what we'll start with is what was your breast implant story?
Sure. I got mine back in 2002, like at the beginning of the internet. So there wasn't a lot of information out there. And I researched for about a year and a half on a place called breastimplantforum.com. I'm not sure if it still exists. It was just women who would like post their before and after kind of pictures and just general questions. And it was very helpful back then. And I was basically skinny with a butt, but I was barely a 34B. So that's why I just wanted to be more proportionate. And at the time when I got mine, silicone implants were illegal. So you only had the option for saline, and they assured me that it was safe and all that. And I got mine. And then the only thing I really noticed at first, within 1 month, I had huge inflammation in my hips and waist. Like I didn't have any. I was like 130 pounds, nothing. And I had these huge hips and waist, and I was way up in size, which wasn't normal for me. And I had no other symptoms until 2014 was when I started getting sick. And for some of my symptoms at the very beginning, 2014, one day I woke up with vertigo And ever since that day, I've had 24/7 lightheadedness and tinnitus. And I've been to over 25 doctors, and that's what it took me on this journey for a breast implant illness. I went to an ENT for my hearing, an otologist, which is basically just a dizziness expert, a neurologist, the cardiologist. I've spent over $15,000 over the years trying to figure out my dizziness. And one of the weird symptoms of my implants was that I noticed I didn't cry, and my friends made fun of me and they called me a robot. But thankfully that went away. Like in the past 6 months, I have emotions again. But I thought that was a really weird one that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about. And some of the other things that I helped with dizziness are I did a spinal tap. I tried chiropractor, acupuncture. For the spinal tap, she thought maybe it was pressure in my brain that was off, but everything, of course, was normal. I had all of these unique hearing tests, like they put hot and cold air in your ears and it's supposed to give them the different metrics inside of your ear pressure. And I wore these laser goggles and you're supposed to look at different lasers and they read your eye retinas. I did all this fancy stuff, which just costs all this money.
Wow.
I had my allergy tested twice. I'm fine. The heart doctor, because I was having heart palpitations, I had an EKG, an echo, everything was normal. They did find that I had weird blood flow in my legs. I took at least 5 or 6 heart pills a day. But after my explant, I'm off all of my medication, which is great. And I had 4 or 5 MRIs, 3 or 4 CT scans. And basically, after going through all that, you have to be your own health advocate to find out what's wrong with you. And out of all of those doctors, I would say only 2 out of 25 doctors went above and over their call of duty to help me and try to figure out what's wrong with me. And that was my heart doctor and my dizziness doctor, the otologist. And my primary doctor, she has breast implants, and she told me there was no way that any of my symptoms, that she told me to have a baby basically, and maybe it was my hormones and maybe that would help me not be dizzy anymore and it would help all my other symptoms. So yeah, there's that.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I still can't believe that.
Yeah, it's a big decision to make. What if you didn't want them or couldn't have them and your doctor was off you go and have one and you'll cure your symptoms? That just seems crazy to me.
Yeah. And around 2017-ish, my hair, I used to have really thick, coarse, and I have naturally curly hair, and it went to very thin. And I'm actually seeing a doctor right now, which I'll talk about in a little bit, over my condition that I found out I had. I gained 50 to 60 pounds because my worst symptom was chronic fatigue. I was taking 3-hour naps at least 3 to 5 days a week, and I was still going to bed at my normal time. On the weekends, I would sleep 15, 16 hours. It was crazy. I was wow. sleeping all the time. That's why I gained all this weight, because I was always in bed. And my brain fog was awful. That was probably one of my worst symptoms too. And just at work, I couldn't think of normal words. It would take me 5-10 minutes to figure out what I needed to type in an email. It was really annoying. And I had weakness in my whole body. The under eye puffiness was really bad. I had I didn't realize it until after my explant that I had dead and pale looking skin. It was deathly white. It was awful. And like I said, I have the tinnitus still, the heart palpitations, the shortness of breath. And I had this weird itch in the back, in my back for years. And I went to the dermatologist a couple times and she's I don't know what to tell you, but nothing's there. So I don't know what you're talking about. And there was nothing I could really do for that. And there's the sensitivity to lights and sounds, the blurry vision. My anxiety was through the roof at one point, I believe around 2007-ish. It got really bad and it was keeping me up at night, and I was taking Xanax at one time and then it ran out and I didn't want to do that anymore. And the inflammation was really bad under my eyes, my wrists and my ankles. And I had a large lymph node on my neck, and the doctor actually had it scanned because she was concerned, but it was nothing. And I had random shooting pains in my arms and boobs. And then the last thing was I would get this weird twitching in my eyes, and a handful of times I had these my whole brain shook it when I was at work, and it was really scary. And my neurologist said she had no idea, they couldn't figure out what it was. So, but those were my symptoms.
funny, like, well, not funny, but like interesting that you mentioned the twitching in your eye, because, and the fact that there's symptoms that you didn't realize were breast implant illness symptoms until afterwards. But you've just reminded me that I had a twitch in my, I think it was my right eye, all the time, and it would just kind of come and go throughout the day. I wasn't necessarily stressed or anything to cause it, but that hasn't happened since my explant. So there's another symptom to add to my list as well. Like, it's so frustrating. Like, the feeling is just so annoying, and it's hard to focus on anything. Add brain fog into that equation. Like, you know, how did we like retain employment during this time? I just don't know. But yeah, wow, it's a lot of symptoms.
Yeah, one day it was so crazy. I couldn't remember the name of a fork and it was bugging me so bad. Like, it was just like simple stuff like that. Like, my brain fog was out of control and like terrible.
Yep. All right. How did you end up finding out about BII in the end then?
My sister-in-law actually mentioned it to me. She has like a degree in like, she does like DNA analysis and stuff for like the Center of Special Diseases or whatever. So she's very up to date on all that kind of stuff. And she said that to me. And at first I was like, no way. And then after thinking about it, I Googled the symptoms, and it's that one that everybody says it has like 30 symptoms on it. And I had almost all of them. And so then I decided to join the Facebook group, Breast Implant Illness and Healing with Nicole. There's over 172,000 members. And that was very helpful. I think I joined it in like October, November, and I got scared after I saw all the like scarred up pictures, and I was like, oh, that looks really painful. I don't know if I can go through that. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it for a couple months, and then in March I started meeting with doctors.
Yeah. Wow. It's frustrating that the only way that most of the people that I've spoken to have found out about it is through social media. mine was like a random on Facebook had shared an article that she'd written about it. So many other people, it's the same thing. Like, it's not, I've seen a few news stories in the last 6 months maybe, but you know, I had mine for 16 years and it was only finding out about it through social media that really started the process for me. So yeah, crazy. What process did you go through to organize your surgery? Because I know it is different from like one country to the next, so be useful for our listeners.
Yeah, my husband wanted me to meet with my original surgeons. He went with me to both my appointments, and I liked my original surgeon. He did a good job, but he, when I met with him, he said he would just do whatever while he was in there. You could have drains or you could not have drains, it depends. And I wasn't comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And I met with another doctor in my area. If you're in Northern Virginia, I highly recommend Dr. Parva in Leesburg, Virginia. He was very detailed. He measured me. He assured me he would get out all the scar tissue, and I had a full capsulotomy. And I think it took about 3.5 hours, but everybody in the office was amazing. I didn't ask him for pictures, but he took pictures of all the scar tissue, ensuring that he got everything out. And I did ask him to test my capsule, which was extra money, but I was fine with that. Insurance didn't pay for mine. So I had my appointments with meeting with these doctors. It was right before lockdown during COVID in 2020. They weren't doing surgeries because of COVID for a long time, but luckily mine didn't get rescheduled, and I had mine in September of 2020. And he did give me my implants back. He said I'm the very first patient who ever asked for their implants back, but he was fine with doing that. And they didn't look weird or anything. They looked fine.
Mm-hmm. So being saline, like, I have seen some online that have mold in them. Yours didn't have that.
Yeah, they looked fine, but they deflated very quickly. They like evaporated all the saline water. And I did have a lift and an explant, so it was a little bit more of a recovery time. I took 2.5 weeks off of work. I support a vice president, so I'm usually sitting down anyways, but that was a good time. I went from a 36 double D, and now I'm about a 36 C. I was a little bit scared. I was really small right after my surgery, and it took me about 2 to 2.5 weeks, and I fluffed out a lot. So don't worry, hopefully you will fluff.
Yes, definitely. That's a term that, again, it's only one that I found out about on social media, it does give you that little bit of assurance, because the way my surgeon explained it is the implant is pushing against and condensing your breast tissue. So yeah, that it takes that time for it to, like, for that tissue to become fluffy again. And I guess that's why we call it fluffing up. But yeah, that can, like, that's great that it took 2.5 weeks for you before you started seeing that. It can take like 6 to 12 months for some people as well. So it's a bit of a journey. Like, mine was around the same time as yours, I think, like about 3 weeks, and one boob looked normal, and then I had my trauma boob, which I call it, on the other side. That looked completely different. But yeah, 3 weeks later, and it started to form into a boob shape, which was amazing. Like, yeah, so our bodies are just, like, we've put them through so much, and not meaning to, like, you know, we didn't know we were going to become sick from this, but then they've healed on their own, and it's just amazing, like, that they
and
do that.
I didn't really buy a real bra until like 10 months after my surgery, because, you know, you change so much, and I just wanted to know my for sure size before I went through all that.
Did you go for a proper fitting at that 10-month mark?
No, I just went to Kohl's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
cool. So what did you do to prepare for your surgery? What would help other people preparing?
Since I had a lift too, and I'm a side sleeper, I would highly recommend, I just got some of these things off Amazon, is the Queen Rose pregnancy pillow. I'm a huge side sleeper. That, along with a wedge pillow. You don't need the wedge pillow. You can just prop up a bunch of pillows if you don't want to have all that money. But the pregnancy pillow is a must for side sleepers if you have a lift. I will say I used it like 3, maybe 4 months after. And for the drain holders, they're like really soft material. It's really nice. It has like a clipped belt, and it also comes with shower bags to go over your shoulders. And it's the Yesito, Yesito. I passed mine on to somebody in that Facebook group, and they keep passing it on, which is a nice thing that they do in there if you ever need stuff. And just some button-down PJs from Target, Amazon. And I pre-made all this organic kind of stuff, like chicken lemon soup from scratch. Up after, I did a lot of like carrot apple juices. And for sports bras after, I waited until after my surgery to get a bra. You do have to size up in the Walmart Aviva. They're like a zip front bra, but I love them. I have like 5 to 7 of them, and I still wear them all the time.
Aviva was the first brand that came up when I Googled it in Australia for post-surgery bras as well. But I think for me, the postage was huge. So I found some local ones. But yeah, I have heard that brand's really good.
And that's it for my surgery prep kind of stuff.
So what have you found has helped with like any sort of healing after explanting?
Basically, in general, when I eat better, I feel better. Because like the past month, I've been kind of falling off my diet. And I've been feeling like this past week, I've been feeling terrible since Thanksgiving. And even to start out with exercise, even if you're just walking around the neighborhood or just down the street, that helps a lot to get back into it. And I was super scared since I had the lift to get back into yoga. I waited 3-4 months before doing all of that, because you're using a lot of your muscles that are right there where you have surgery.
And with the walking, I remember when we've talked before you explanted, like walking to the end of the street was painful for you. How soon were you able to walk further than that without pain after your surgery?
Well, actually, the first week that after my explant, I walked around like 45 minutes in my basement, and I actually swelled up a little. I had to call my doctor because I had so much energy. He's like, you need to chill, because it was like instant that I had all this energy and I wanted to walk, and I was fine after my explant.
Yeah. One of the other ladies that I've interviewed, Yaglin, she was saying that she almost became like an insomniac because she had so much energy after explanting. Like, we just get so used to not having any because we're so fatigued all the time with those implants in. So, learning to chill out when you've got that energy is so hard. Did you experience any detox waves, and like sort of tell me how they were for you?
Yeah, right after my surgery, I was better with the brain fog and the memory loss and all that, and the fatigue instantly went away. But every few months until about, I was 1.5, 2 years, every few months, it would come back. My memory and brain fog got really bad, and I got scared that it just wasn't going to go away. But it did take me, I had my implants almost 20 years, like 19, I think. And so it took me 1.5, 2 years to like feel like my old self. Mm-hmm. And then I have a list of my improvements for all my BII symptoms after too. Okay.
Fire away if you want to share those.
And chronic fatigue was instant. I had energy as soon as I woke up from my explant. And when I woke up from my surgery, the lump on my throat that I talked about that I had scanned, that was completely gone. I lost 2 pant sizes in 1.5 months for no reason. I felt my stomach muscle again, which is amazing. I didn't even, it was like years. And so I forgot I had a stomach muscle. And I'm now 50 pounds down and 3 sizes down. And the color in my face came back. The face texture like changed. It like turned to smooth. And instead of the deathly pale, like a guy at work mentioned, and he asked what I did to like look like I was alive again. And he said, I always looked deathly. I'm like, thank you. And my under eye puffiness went away. I'm off of my heart medication. I can keep up with my dog and husband. I used to walk 10 to 15 feet behind them because I couldn't keep up with them. And it was instantaneous after my surgery that I could keep up with them. Mm-hmm. My anxiety is way, way less. The itchiness went away and the eye twitch and like the brain shakes. I haven't happened since explant. And I didn't know this was a symptom, but I used to sweat profusely just going grocery shopping. I wasn't even exerting myself and that went away immediately. I noticed that. And I still have the lightheadedness 24/7 and then tinnitus, but it's a lot, the tinnitus is a lot better. And my eye doctor told me that my vision got a lot better. So that's good. And the inflammation, I had got really bad inflammation in my feet. Even if I was just working on a conference at work or something, my ankles would be like huge and like swelled with like all this water. And I don't get that anymore. And my hair grew back a little bit. And I just found out over this past summer, I was at the dermatologist getting my yearly body check. And I mentioned to her about my hair and she looked at it. She's like, I'll get you in a couple of weeks. And I found out that I have an autoimmune disease called, it's Lichen planiparis. It's Lichen planiparis. She was fine. It's one of the first things that comes up in Google. And it's basically your hair gets scarred at the root, I guess. It scars and it turns a color and it won't grow back. And so that scared me. And I've been working where I go back to her every 3 months. I just went for a checkup a couple of weeks ago. She's been kind of pushing this medication on me, but the one medication is it's very, very hard on your liver. And I don't want to take it all. It has a lot of chemicals in it. And you have to get a blood test with it. And I don't want to do that again. I was doing this diet from this book. This girl, she's done all the research on it and she has Lichen planiparis and she reversed it with her diet, but it's a really, really hard diet. It's no gluten, dairy, nuts, nightshade. So that's eggplant, hummus, like, all that and like sesame and all these things. You can't have a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So I did do it for a month and a half. It was really hard, but then the holidays started coming up and I just decided I'm going to go back on it. You go on it for like 3 or 4 months. And then you start adding back the things you cut off. You're supposed to see what affects your body and what you have to cut out and what you can bring back into your diet. And I'm going to start it in January, I swear. And I'm meeting with my doctor again in February. I was low in vitamin D, so she has me doing that every day. And she did mention to me, it's this PRP hair restoration. They take your blood, they spin it until it separates, and then they numb your head and then they put that back into your scalp and it's supposed to make your hair grow, but it only works for 50% of the time with my research I've been doing. And it's very, very expensive. It can be like thousands of dollars and you need many treatments. So I don't know. Mm. And last time I went, she said I only had it of my left side and everywhere else looked fine. The first time I went, my scalp was very red and inflamed. She has me on this foam stuff and I just put it in different spots on my scalp and it's helped with regrowth, like especially like right on my crown and in the front. And in the past 6 months, I started crying again and like I'm a real person again.
You're not a robot anymore.
Yeah, my friends were so excited. And the autoimmune disease, I did search it in the breast implant girls and like 80%, it seems 80% of the women in there have some kind of autoimmune disease with their hair and it comes out. And some of them can grow it back, but a lot of people, they never do.
This doesn't happen.
Because I read if you're exposed to chemicals, like especially metals for a long time, which metals are one of the ingredients in it, that's what gives us this.
Far out. Yeah, if only we knew these things when we were younger, like, you know, we were sort of looking for something to improve our self-confidence. In my case, it was to look normal because I didn't look normal before having implants. And then it's then caused, you know, for some people, there's breast deformities after having their implants out. For other people, yes, autoimmune conditions where they've got skin issues long term or hair falling out long term. And yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like if we had the option to weigh that up before having implants, we possibly would have made a different decision.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are 2 years post-explant now. How Yes. are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel like my normal self. I haven't had like an over, I'd say 6-8 months, the whole where I can't remember anything that hasn't come back. So I feel like my normal self again. And yeah, it's just the hair thing that I'm dealing with now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're doing like some, I saw you did like a big trail walk type thing in the last couple of months, so like you're able to walk long distances.
In September, I did my very first 11K. I don't run, I just walk. We live near a bunch of mountains and hiking trails near the water and stuff. And so my husband and my dog, we went and did it one day. I think it's right under 7 miles for the 11K. But yeah, I was super proud of myself because I couldn't even walk to the end of my street.
Yeah, so before, hiking would have just been out of the question before explanting then.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's amazing. So if there were to be one piece of advice that you could give to your younger self, what would it be?
I wish I saw how amazing I was. And I actually, looking back at pictures, I looked better before I got my implants too. And I had low self-esteem and I just wanted to be more proportionate. And I just wish that I saw that in myself back then.
Finally, where can our listeners follow on your story?
Sure. On Instagram and YouTube, I'm Starlit Makeup Chick, Starlit Makeup Chick, Chick.
Beautiful. So you also share some sort of makeup and is it skincare tips on there as well?
Yeah, I do have some BII stuff. I did on my YouTube, I did before my explant, right after my explant. I did how I was recovering and how I looked and all that. And I have a video of all the stuff I talked about, what would help you with your recovery and all that. And I have like different symptoms that I went through on my Instagram. And I talk about that in more depth.
Beautiful. Cool. So worth checking out. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Kate. It's been a delight to have you on the podcast. And yeah, I've learned a lot. Like, I have followed you back from early on and I didn't realize that a lot of these symptoms had plagued you. So thank you so much for sharing and bringing awareness to it.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having this podcast because I wish I would have had something like this back 20 years ago. And it probably would have changed my decision on what I did with all the research and everything.
Thank you so much. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.